Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 204 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Knowing Wheel returns this weekend with a bit of a kind of news roundup, if you will. Of course, we've had a week or so since the Brazilian Grand Prix. We've got about another week and a half until Formula One is back in Las Vegas. So as always, I'm joined by Jamie183 just to go through a few little bits and pieces of news that we've picked up and share our opinions with the world. Jamie, first of all, how are we doing, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm still living off the high of the Brazilian Grand Prix and Max Verstappen securing his fourth world championship pretty much. Can sleep easy knowing that the title is no longer at risk, which for the last 3 months I've been living in denial that it that there was no way Norris was catching, and all along I was right.
To be fair, I had no hope that Norris was going to catch. You just had blind hopes and dreams that he wouldn't. Yes. I assume obviously this has affected your sleeping quite a lot recently, hence why obviously a couple of weeks ago you said Magnussen should be the Red Bull replacement.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen, but
I wouldn't put money on it.
No, I wouldn't. And that actually gets us straight into, well, the Red Bull seat, which is still up in the air.
Or not technically contractually, but we all think could be.
Yeah, based on everything that everyone in Red Bull is saying. Because Checo Perez technically has a contract for 2025, which was signed back in Monaco, back before Monaco, wasn't it? But he's had one top six finish since Miami, which is really, really poor form when you consider Max has won four or five races in that time.
And I don't think finished outside the top six in that time either, has he?
Probably not. No, lower sort of Mexico, probably.
He was outside top six there.
No, wasn't he sixth? I thought he was.
Well, was he sixth? I can't remember already.
He was behind both Mercedes. Yeah, I think he was sixth. But I don't understand why, if they've got exit clauses, which we were led to believe in the first half of the season, were to do with being within a certain number of points of Verstappen and being within a certain number of positions in the championships of Verstappen. And the way it looks like, he won't match either of those clauses, because I think it was 100 points and it was within two positions or three positions, and he's going to be eighth when Verstappen's first. So if they wanted to get rid of him, they totally could. I just think they haven't got the alternatives.
Well, this is what I think, isn't it? Because, I mean, we're meant to be seeing Yuki in a Red Bull for the first time ever pretty soon, aren't we? But like I've said before, I think Red Bull are too worried about putting him in the big team and then being left in a situation like with Daniel Ricciardo, where he then goes to Aston Martin with Honda down the line. So I think they're still reluctant to put Yuki in the Red Bull full time. And as much as people have been hyping him up, and even we've hyped him up a fair bit on the show recently, I'm still not convinced Liam Lawson is the refined driver he needs to be to succeed in that role. I think he's got the pace to be good, but he also is still a bit too just aggressive in his nature.
And he's done, seven races ever in F1? That just seems like a recipe for disaster, to stick him next to one of the greatest of his generation that early in his career. You need someone proven. And someone, because Perez had a very good career before he went to Red Bull, and it's just, he's still getting absolutely demolished. So you wonder what caliber driver needs to go in that seat if they need to be better than Perez.
This is the thing, isn't it? You wonder, because obviously Perez, before he went to Red Bull, you know, we were often ranking him kind of top six drivers, I'd say, mostly, especially 2020. He absolutely popped off in 2020. Yeah, people were
easily
loving
top 10 drives on the grid for his basically whole career.
Yeah, exactly. He's always sort of been in the top half. He's never been a driver that we're kind of worried that wasn't good enough to keep his seat, were we, in his history in the sport. But, like, you're kind of there going now, because I'm sure for a lot of other drivers as well, unless you, you know, a young up-and-comer and things like that, I would imagine, obviously, you mentioned Magnussen even a couple of weeks ago. Someone like Hülkenberg, there must be so many, or Bottas, so many more experienced drivers on the grid that are kind of just there going, I wouldn't want to touch that seat with a barge pole. You just don't want to go near it anymore.
So
you're kind of limited
ender,
in
really
who will have Verstappen. It. Exactly. And I think it's not necessarily just going up against Verstappen, because I think there are other drivers on the grid that are as quick as Max, but it's just obviously the fact that that whole team is set up entirely around him. You know, the way they set up cars is completely set, you know, to what he likes and things like that. You know, you've got to be there going, and unless you've got the same driving style as him or are incredibly adaptable, why would you want to move there? And I think, sensibly, I still argue that perhaps they should have been trying to go for a big money move on Lando Norris. That obviously won't happen now because Lando knows McLaren can build him a world championship winning car. Oscar Piastri is the other one, but I think give him obviously equal status at the start of next year, like is written in his contract, and he'll. I'm gonna go on a limb. I reckon he might get the better of Lando next year. I think he is definitely.
Yeah, I think it'll be tight. I don't think they'll be in a position where they need to use team orders because one driver's out of the championship. Put it that way.
No.
Yeah, and obviously you've got Mark Webber managing him, who will not let him become a number two driver. So, yeah. And other than, you know, if you're thinking of drivers who could go up against Verstappen and not drown, you've probably got the two McLaren drivers. You've got Charles Leclerc, who's obviously locked in at Ferrari for his whole life.
I'd say Carlos could as
Carlos
well.
Carlos Sainz is probably up there, but obviously Red Bull missed the boat on him. And he's now gone to Williams, which won't be impossible to get him out of, but not for 25, you'd imagine. I think Hamilton would, but obviously he's going to Ferrari. That would be chaotic if you had Hamilton and Verstappen in the same
Hamilton
team.
Hamilton and Verstappen at the same team would be all terrible. Levels of terrible.
And yeah, that's kind of it. Unless I mean, Alonso 10 years ago would have done. Maybe five years ago.
Well, Alonso got so many offers to go to Red Bull back in the early 2010s and never took him up on any of them.
Yeah, exactly. And other than I don't think Lawson is the guy yet.
I certainly wouldn't put him in with that group of drivers, would you?
No. But in terms of the drivers they're looking at, I don't think Carlo Pinto's got what it takes.
No, which apparently he is still Red Bull's first target, apparently, which just seems odd to me as well.
Really odd. Yeah.
Because like, you said obviously about Sainz, of course, there were all these rumours, weren't there, that maybe Red Bull would buy out Sainz's contract so Williams could keep Carlo Pinto. And everything like that. But you're kind of there going, I think for Williams, honestly, they just, you know, they're kind of aware they're in a very powerful position right now. And James Fowles, obviously, you know, he'll play the numbers game. They can make a lot of money out of this, whichever way it goes. Because obviously for them, it's huge. For Red Bull, it's a bit more kind of chump change. But why I would just kind of go, you know what, we invested a lot into Franco's junior career. We'll make all our money back on that. You know what? We'll kind of feed him to the lions, if you will.
Yeah, I don't think. Like I do like Colin Pinto, but he's very raw.
Like a bit like Lawson.
To be expected, yeah. And I don't think a top seat going to him at this stage of his career would be a good move.
No. And I think obviously people's opinions of him did drop, of course, after Brazil as well. But that just obviously comes with a bit more refinement of a driver, isn't it? A bit more experience and everything like that as well. I think if I had to put money on it right now, I think we'll probably get to Australia and it's going to be Checo still in that car. But
I think they might stick Lawson in. I don't think they should, but I think they might.
He'd have to do something really special somewhere, I think, for them to pull the trigger.
Yeah, potentially. And then I'd imagine if Lawson did go to Red Bull, they would probably snap up Colapinto Pinto for that second RB.
Oh, yeah. I think if whoever ends up in that Red Bull, unless it's Perez, Colapinto's going there next year.
Yeah, we could see it happen. Let us know who you think will be driving next to Verstappen in the first race of 2025.
It does lead us nicely, doesn't it, Jim? Because we have got a few other bits of kind of rookie and junior driver kind of news, haven't we? I think the quick fun one I think we should go through, which of course is, you know, Flavio Briatore came back to Formula One. He's been a little bit quiet since then, Jamie, until we saw an article this week stating that Jack Doohan, who's racing for Alpine next year, apparently only has a 5-race contract to kickstart his Formula One career. Otherwise, Alpine could be the next in line to try and snag Franco Colapinto as well.
Yes, and this just seems like straight out of the early 2000s, isn't it? With this kind of wheeling and dealing from a team principal. But yeah, it's very unusual these days to have a driver on a 5-race contract. To begin his career as well. Like, I get that when they were making driver moves, nobody wanted to go to Alpine because they were in a mess and Viri was closing and they're going to become a customer team, which actually is probably a benefit if you ask me. But yeah, it's not the most desirable seat in the world. And obviously they've got Doohan, who absolutely wanted the seat, versus everyone else who was kind of trying to avoid it and wait for better things to come up. But yeah, it's really odd to, like, it doesn't really inspire confidence in your junior driver, does it, to give you a race for a quarter of the season, if that.
Well, less than that, 20%,
yeah, almost,
isn't 20%, it?
Yeah. Yeah, craziness. But, you know, if he does well, he might get extended. This also is not particularly verified news, because Flavio Briatore is a bit of a loose cannon, so it might be completely false anyway, but we'll see. And yeah, if they don't want doing after five races, they'll probably end up trying to get Colapinto if he's not driving a Red Bull.
I mean, it's just, Flavio Briatore is still just an absolutely bonkers man, isn't he? Like, he's just he's just a nutcase, isn't he? But he's the kind of guy, especially with these kind of wheeling and dealings, like you said. What was it, the Lance Stroll quote on Drive to Survive years ago about, like, he'd have tattooed on his arm, diamonds are made under pressure, or something like that, for all his drivers and that kind of thing. I mean, back in the early 2000s, for those of you that don't know, Flavio Briatore had, what, probably a quarter of the grid at certain points that were kind of, he was their agent and that kind of thing. And he'd, he'd try and force so many random things
and
upon
he was
drivers. Exactly, during the same time.
And it was, it was so, so weird. And he had a very short fuse with a lot of drivers as well. I remember Jenson Button in 01, wasn't it? When he drove for Renault in 01 and not 02, he left in the after 1 year because they fell out. And Jenson Button, I guess when he was a younger driver, he wasn't as, like, classy and respectful as he is now, but he still wasn't.
He was a bit of a playboy, Jensen, in his early years.
He was, and that's what Briatore said, that he wasn't focused enough to drive F1, so they fell out and he left Renault.
Which staggers me that Flavio Briatore has the audacity to call him a playboy, because have you ever seen Briatore and his girlfriend or wife or anything?
No.
He's just that one creepy old bloke that's, like, in his 60s dating a woman in her 20s. You just there going, oh. He just makes,
what she's,
like,
after.
Oh, exactly. It just kind of makes, oh, God. It just makes your skin crawl. Obviously, doing, apparently on a 5-race deal. We have got confirmation as well, though, Jamie, which we were kind of expecting was going to come, weren't we? But Bortoleto is finally confirmed. Obviously, I think the contracts were signed at Brazil, obviously at his home Grand Prix. But he will be racing for Sauber Audi next year. And in a bizarre twist of events, they announced, obviously, literally at 9 a.m. one morning last week, the Bottas and Joe were going, and about 9:15, that Bortoleto was in.
Yeah, it didn't really give much time. I mean, once the first announcement was out, everyone knew what the answer was going to be.
Oh, exactly.
But yeah, it's not a surprise. Sauber tend to do this for whatever reason. They kind of have two drivers for 2 to 3 years, and neither of them really stand out against the other. And then they both go.
Well,
like,
since 2018, they've done every single time. But that's what I'm saying.
Ericsson Nasser. Well, I guess they didn't. Ericsson lasted 1 year longer than Nasser, didn't he? But
exactly. So that's what I'm saying. The end of 2018, the end of 2021, the end of 2024 is the only time in that period that Sauber have swapped drivers, and every time they've done a full reset of their lineup. Yeah. It's really odd.
It's a strange way, because, like, so the likes of Giovinazzi and Joe, arguably, you never really got a measure on how good they were, because they were going up against drivers who...
Not very is the answer, but there
Well, yeah, I would say that too. But, you know, for all we know, Raikkonen in his 40s and Bottas in his mid-30s might have been really good. And those drivers, they weren't drowning against the other two. So they might have been all right, but we'll never know because no one's going to give them a chance. But I'm not saying they should have a chance, but it's just interesting that they never raced against any other teammate for Giovinazzi and for Joe now. But yeah, it's not a massive loss. I don't think either of them. Obviously, Bottas has got a bit more history in the sport than Joe has. And the
Bottas, I'd argue, is a bit of a shame.
The Chinese Grand Prix will have a lot less attendance next year, you'd imagine.
Well, it'll probably be gone after 25, surely.
I'd imagine it might be, but that's a big shame because it's one of my favourite Tilke tracks. But yeah, Bottas will stay around the paddock, you'd imagine. And to be honest, he hasn't really cared about the driving in a while, it feels like. He's just been here to mess around and do PR. So that might suit him being a Mercedes reserve.
Well, I think that's a bit unfair on Bottas. I think he's probably going to end up being a bit like Hülkenberg was when obviously he was on the sidelines. He's a bit of a super sub if needed.
Well, he might be racing for Alpine after five races.
Wait, that's what I was going to say. He might end up in the Alpine after five races or something like that. But yeah, like I said, it's a bit of a shame for Bottas because I do still genuinely believe, you know, he's... I'd argue Bottas still is probably better than at least a quarter of the grid, at least.
Yeah.
It's obviously very, very difficult to get a sensible barometer on him this year because obviously that Sauber has been so bad.
So dreadful, Well, I'd say he's on a level with like Gasly and Ocon, that kind of thing.
I was going to say he's probably better than those two. Those were kind of the two I was looking at. And we'd say they're mid-pack drivers in terms of overall performance. Would it be unfair to say Bottas is probably about the 10th best on the grid still?
He's around there, probably, yeah.
Yeah, so it seems a bit of a shame, though, obviously, that he is getting dropped. But like you said, I think, to be honest, you know, he might kind of, like you said, he's probably going to go to Mercedes as the reserve driver, which I think is a good move. He's probably going to start absolutely slapping up. I mean, did an Iron Man at home last week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just absolutely. I have him on Strava. Mad. I'd recommend. It's crazy.
Oh, wild.
He literally, the same day he lost his seat, he just did an Ironman for fun in his back garden in Finland. It's like, sweet.
As you do, apparently. I mean, he was just going to start dominating random. The thing is with Bottas, I genuinely reckon it'd be quite interesting if he did, like, videos and stuff doing, like, his Ironmans and that kind of thing, his training.
He did inspire a lot of people.
He's just genuinely an incredible athlete, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, outside of a Formula One car, he's just fantastic. And I do like his personality as well. It's been nice to see him let his hair down after leaving.
Quite literally.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I can see him racing Australian supercars for
a while. For sure. He loves Australia, doesn't he? He goes there every winter.
That'd be pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, it's also quite interesting, I think, that he's ended up back at Mercedes, because in 21, when he left, he was so done with Mercedes. That it's quite interesting.
I don't think
come
he
full
was.
Circle.
Was he?
Well, he had the offer of Williams, didn't he? But he was so sick of the Mercedes family.
I think that was more of Williams were terrible that year.
I guess. And it worked out because Alfa Romeo were way better in 22.
Exactly.
But the narrative was that he was... Obviously, he was used as a bit of a guinea pig in 21 to get the rocket fuel engine for Hamilton.
Yeah, but I think he also accepted he was probably lucky to keep the seat throughout 2021. Like, there were a lot of talks that you get dropped after 2020, especially with George's stand-in at Bahrain.
Yeah, yeah.
He was lucky to get the extra year.
He was. But I just think it's interesting, because certainly my memory of the narrative was, he wanted a clean break from Merck and go and do his own thing, which he certainly has. But now he's ready to go back, so fair play.
Yeah, I think a decent paycheck. You know, it's a very professional team. You may as well be there going, well, if I'm going to get a reserve role, it may as well be a team that if I have to stand in, I've got a decent shot.
Yeah.
Isn't it, I think?
And a bit of pressure on Antonelli from the off.
Antonelli. Yeah, I think they'll just keep him. I don't think they're too worried about that. What do we make, obviously, Jamie? The bigger news here, of course, should be, obviously, Gabriele Bortoletto, of course, F3 champion last year. On course, well, he's in the final, obviously, for the F2 championship this year. He's not necessarily. He hasn't got... What's his points lead? It's not much at all at the moment. But I think it's
Isaac Hadjar, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a decent move for him. Bortoletto has a 4.5 point lead over Isaac Hadjar. No, exactly. Could that half a point from the sprint race at Monza be
it's
pivotal?
Still another... we're racing at LaSalle. I was going to say it's another month until Abu Dhabi, but at least there's one race the week before, so it's only 3 weeks.
I hate the F2 calendar so much.
Yeah, but it'll finish in the top two, you'd imagine, because Meloni's a solid 34.5 points back. So, yeah, I think it's a good move for all parties, to be honest. I like the amount of rookies that are coming onto the grid next year, because it'll make Hülkenberg look better. And, yeah, it's good for the sport. You kind of get this flurry of new drivers every so often. And then it goes a few years. Obviously, 23 to 24 was the first time ever that there was no driver changes, which was, looking back, was mad.
It was dead is what it was. We couldn't hype up any podcast for about 3 months because the season was boring and then the driver news was boring.
And now we've got loads of new drivers all at once, really, because you think, who might be on the grid next year? You've got Bortoletto doing for five races. Obviously, Colapinto, Lawson.
Antonelli, Behrmann.
That's six, isn't it, already?
Yeah. Well, Colapinto's not confirmed. That's what you remember.
No, yeah.
But
so it's
still quarter of the grid.
Six. which is really good for the sport, I think, and it will give us a lot of new names to get used to, a lot of people to keep an eye on, and potentially it will give a few experienced teammates a run for their money. But I think Hülkenberg will be fine, if you ask me.
And Kimi Antonelli is going to be the first ever rookie champion.
Really?
Yeah.
They've really shown progress to be world champions this year.
Well, no, because next year they're going to get all that extra wind tunnel testing time, aren't they? Which is going to make the difference. They should never have finished second last year.
Definitely. But I think it's good. It's good for Brazil as well to get a driver back on the grid.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And Bottas has a very good CV. So, you know, he's won F3. He might win F2. That's the same as the likes of Leclerc and Russell. And, you know, they're mainstays on the grid now. So Bottas is 20 years old, born in 2004, which is horrendous.
Oh, that's so bad. It's almost as bad as Antonelli.
Yeah.
So when did we become so old so quickly?
We're like, if we were on the grid, we'd be like middle-aged drivers at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so painful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
mad.
Painful.
But I think it's good for everyone. And I think it makes sense for Audi to have gone this way instead of keeping Bottas. Because
I think they've got to look at their future, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and like, it's nice for them as well to have got him out of the contract.
Yeah, I think like we said with Audi as well, isn't it? Is of course for them next year, you can kind of put Bortoleto in, and if he for whatever reason doesn't swim, then you can bin him off, and it was kind of never really your problem anyway. And obviously hire someone else in for 2026, because obviously it's still going to be Sauber or Kicksauber or whatever we're calling it. It also could be Qatar Kicksauber pretty soon, because apparently Audi are already looking to sell a portion of the team out to the Qatar Royal money.
Yeah, which, you know, any kind of method of raising income is always a good thing.
And it's worked well for McLaren in the last few years, selling off to Bahrain.
It has indeed. And I think people are hyping this up as Audi are already not interested in the sport. But I think that's stretching massively. They're committed to it and they're going to be in for a while, because especially when they've started developing their own engines. So, yeah. Is that true? Have I made that up? That's true, isn't it?
They're doing good. Their own power units.
Not initially. It'll be for 26, won't it? For the new engine regs. But yeah, they're definitely here to stay. And I think Bortoleto will do okay against Hülkenberg. I think it's hard to say, really, because obviously he's never raced in F1. He's never. You can't really judge a driver based on an F2 campaign, as we've said many times. But I would back, I mean, obviously, I'm a Hülkenberg fan, so I will back Hulk to beat anyone, but especially a rookie driver. I think it'll be almost like Hülkenberg's own debut season.
I was going to say, it could be, yeah, exactly. Use the experienced driver, because, like, you know, obviously we said about Ocon for poor Ollie Bearman, it's just probably going to be a bit of a pain to deal with. Hülkenberg, I kind of get the sense that you will kind of happily take, you know, kind of learn the ropes with him.
He will, but he's got a bit of a cutting edge that he won't give everything, I don't think, but it'll help him a bit.
But yeah.
We'll see. Exactly. We'll see. That does take us on to our quiz for this week.
Oh, no.
Because Gabriel Bortoleto is joining a plethora of Brazilian drivers to have raced in Formula One.
Yeah.
I'm not making you name all of them throughout the whole of time.
I was going to say there's so many in the 90s and 2000s.
There's a lot.
Nothing.
But I will ask you to name all of the Brazilians who have raced in Formula One in a race, whether that's a full-time driver or not, since the year 2000.
Oh,
and
no.
You've got a minute and a half, and there's, I think, about 14 or 15 answers. And your time starts
what?
Now.
Felipe Nasa, Felipe Massa, Rubens Barrichello, Fittipaldi, Pietro, whatever his name was.
Yes.
Pedro Diniz.
Yes.
Ricardo Rossit.
Not in the 2000s.
No, wasn't he? Oh, no, he was late 90s, wasn't he? Mazzacane? No, he was
Argentinian.
I'm trying to think who else has there been. Obviously, I've said Barrichello, I've said Massa.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there are. I'm well aware of that. Thank you. Piquet Jr.
Yes.
I'm forgetting so many obvious ones, aren't I?
There's a few. There's no more like household names, but there's a few. Well, there's one household name, but not his own name.
Oh. Senna.
Yes.
Of course, Bruno. Yeah, that's bad. I almost forgot that.
You got 22 seconds.
Oh, I'm so bad at this. All of them from the early 2000s.
They're basically all back markers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
10 seconds. 7 left.
Bruni? No, he wasn't, was he?
Bruni? Who's that?
Yeah. What was his name?
All right, your time's up.
Oh, man, it's so bad.
I want to give you the teams, and you can try and get them. So you got Virgin Racing. You should get that one.
Yeah, I knew there was one more from the 2010 side, just not, and like, just completely blanking on.
No, next to Timo Glock in 2010.
It's what I'm trying to remember. Yeah, exactly. Because it's not Dambrosio. It's
no, he's Belgian. Lucas.
He was. Oh, of course. I always forget Degrassi racing Formula One. I forget how many of the Formula E drivers there were back in 2010.
Degrassi. One of them, Jaguar.
Again, I forgot this last week, didn't I? When you did the Jaguar quiz. Man. I can literally see his face.
There's a couple of Minardis.
Of course there are.
Yeah, I think actually there's four Minardis.
Oh, yeah, of course there are, because Brazil had money in the early 2000s. Oh, man.
And then there's a Toyota as well.
He won IndyCar before he came over, didn't he? Demata.
Cristiano Demata.
Yep. Minardi, early 2000s. I feel like I can remember every Minardi driver from the early 2000s that isn't Brazilian, but I just cannot remember the ones that are.
I'm going to put you out of misery.
Oh, please do.
Enrico Vinaldi.
Oh, damn it. I was literally thinking about him as well.
Luciano Berti.
Yeah, of course.
Ricardo Zonta, who you should have got.
Should I?
He's quite well known, isn't he?
Fairly well known. Obviously, I know the name now you've said it, but I know all the names now you've said.
And then Tasso Marquez.
Oh, I did think about Marquez.
Yeah, there you go.
Terrible.
You got all but seven. I think you got about half. So.
Oh, that's not good.
Not bad. And Borsato will join that list quite soon.
He will.
There you go.
Next year. I got the big ones. That was the important bit.
Yeah.
I forgot all the terrible ones. I mean, we've only got a couple other bits to go through, haven't we, Jamie? The GDPA, the GPDA, even, I should say. They've sent out a formal letter to Mohammed Ben Salam saying, we're not 14, you can't tell us off for swearing. This isn't secondary school. Seemed like quite a funny one. I think, honestly, a lot of... You kind of get the sense that a lot of people are kind of fed up with Mohammed Ben Salam at the moment, aren't they? Kind of trying to make this, you know, kind of change the sport in a way that he thinks is right when clearly not a lot of other people do. Like, I can understand what the drivers are saying, that, you know, they're in high-pressure situations in the Grand Prix. Obviously, the testosterone and everything, and the adrenaline, obviously, is going through them. You know, you can't really try and get them to stop saying what they're going to say. Especially, obviously, for, like, you know, Yuki Tsunoda is always the example we use, isn't it? Well, obviously, he learned English from mechanics. Of course he's only going to learn the swear words. That's just what happens.
Exactly. And it's not even, like, the things that they're I think the tipping point for this was when Leclerc accidentally swore in a press conference after the podium, after he finished in Mexico on the podium, and he basically obviously said it by accident, immediately apologized and said, please don't fine me. And it's basically a protocol that if you swear in a press conference, you get a fine of a decent amount of money.
Again, for a lot of them though, isn't it, he's, you know, for example, if it had happened to Zhou Guanyu, if he swore in a press conference in Chinese, or Mandarin even, sorry, I should say, most people probably wouldn't even pick up on it, would they?
Yeah.
Because obviously, it's just the, you know, obviously for a lot of them, they're not even speaking in their first language. It's kind of a mute point, isn't it? I think. And a lot of it doesn't, you know, like the radio messages and stuff don't go out live. They bleep it anyway. What's the problem?
Yeah, yeah. And I agree with the drivers on this, because it is, you know, they're never, or very rarely, are they using, like, derogatory language to offend people. They're using it as descriptive, so it doesn't actually hurt anyone.
Tsunoda obviously got fined for that a couple of years ago, didn't he?
So did Max, and he called Stroll a mongrel, which is always
Yeah, that
was very clever.
There might be evidence behind that one. but it's, you know, it's those kind of things you think, yeah, absolutely, you know. But when it's something that isn't offending anybody, you're kind of there going, is it really an issue, or are you just making, you know, it was never an issue until he made it an issue, was it?
Yeah.
I think it's the bigger problem with this.
Yeah, and the jewellery thing as well, which kicked off at the start of the season, was similar, just because he hadn't, he hadn't been seen to be doing enough recently. So it was like, right, let's make up a random rule. It's almost like when Liberty Media came in, they were just starting to do gimmicky things to almost make a statement. Without, obviously, I think Liberty did a great job since, but in their first season, they were just doing random stuff to be seen to be doing things.
Exactly. You know, try and get the share price up and everything like that.
Yeah, but I think the drivers will probably win this case, to be honest, because there's enough people in the top of F1 who will speak sense to him.
Basically. Exactly. I mean, the last thing we got then, Jamie, I believe you've put on there, because apparently we're both going to have another guess. Exactly. McLaren, 593 points. Ferrari, 557 points. Red Bull, 544 points. Three races, a sprint to go. Jamie, in what order are they finishing the year?
I'm going to stick with what I said last time, I think. Which I think was McLaren, Red Bull, Ferrari.
Okay.
I think, yeah, Max will have enough. I don't know why I think that, just because he was...
He's going to outscore Ferrari by himself by 13 points between now and the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. And the other one is sixth place, which we'll talk about afterwards.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can see Ferrari having a big result in Vegas.
Well, Vegas and Qatar should suit the Ferrari.
Well, Qatar will be McLaren, because it's all high downforce.
Oh yeah, I guess it's high speed corners.
I'm going to say McLaren, Ferrari, Red Bull then. We both think McLaren are going to win overall.
Yeah, I think they've got the strongest driver lineup out of those three.
On their day, Ferrari are better, but yeah.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I quite like Piastri as a second, and Norris
so
is
do I.
As everyone
so do
out.
I. But so. I think my point is that Leclerc is probably can be the best of the four, and Sainz can match him on his day, was my logic.
Oh, the best of the four out of McLaren and Ferrari.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I think Verstappen's definitely better than six on his day.
maybe not. Alpine 49, Haas 46, VCarb 44, Jamie.
This one's harder.
This one is harder.
It would be a real shame, actually. No, it wouldn't. I don't really care about Alpine. But having got all this hype from this massive result in Brazil, they could still end up finishing eighth, which is one position higher than they would have finished anyway. It would be quite cool if they cling on to sixth, but I just don't see
it. I genuinely just feel sorry for Williams in all of this.
Well, yeah, they've now got nothing to fight for, have they, at all. So that's a shame. But, you know, they might rock up with a double podium at Vegas. Who knows? They got double car in the top six in qualifying last year, and one of them was Logan Sargeant. So,
yeah, but last year's car was just a straight-line weapon. Straight line, they haven't got that anymore.
I will go Haas in sixth.
Okay.
Alpine in seventh, and RB in eighth.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, we're definitely going to go different on that one then. I'm going to say RB in sixth. I'm going to say Haas in seventh and Alpine in eighth.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I think Haas are the strongest car out of those three at the moment.
I would argue that RB recently have been.
Haas had two double points finishes before the random race in Brazil, which was a bit difficult to judge. And yeah. Magnussen's been on good form, coming for that Red Bull seat. So,
can we appreciate that in the last 35 Grand Prix, Alpine have scored as many podiums as Aston Martin?
That's actually amazing. Wow. And did you know, since the summer break, both Alpine drivers have outscored Sergio Perez?
That I also believe that, quite impressively.
It's true. That's not a that's a real fact.
I wasn't trying to sit here and claim it could have been funny. A lie. I'm just saying I believe it.
Yeah.
Wild. Absolutely wild.
Crazy.
Do you see the NASCAR Cup Series, Jamie?
No.
So, the guy that scored the 12th most points over the course of the season won the title.
Oh, because it's all the weird most wins thing, isn't it?
Yep. Well, it's not just most wins, but yeah, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
So, hopefully that means next year they're going to change the point system, which would be nice. Did not know Juan Pablo Montoya raced. Well, apparently he got 5 points over the course of the season, which is quite impressive.
Well done.
So we love that for Juan. If Juan could only win in Formula 1 1 year.
Could
Juan win a really round one, Juan? That is a terrible way to end the show.
An awful way to end the show, but it's quite funny. We miss the Australian comedians. We bring them back.
Bring them back, okay. Thank you all so much for watching. And we'll be back next week to preview the Las Vegas Grand Prix.